Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This title, The Seed of the Woman, is taken from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3, verse 15 is known as the first gospel. It was preached by God Himself to sinful men. That incident was the start of sin on this earth. It was the beginning of sin entering into this world, and God was present. God had never left man to fend for himself after the fall. God is always a God of love. And when we read Luke chapter 1, verse 26, this was the culmination and the fulfillment of what God himself prophesied in Genesis 3:15. And when it was fulfilled, it would be about 6,000 plus years since God gave that first message in Genesis 3:15. What an amazing prophecy and fulfillment. The seed of the woman. This seems to be a very common phrase whenever a mother is with child. The child inside the mother's womb is known as the seed of the woman. But this woman in Genesis 3:15 was an unusual woman. And this special lady is described for us in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 28. The nature and identity of this woman is described. And you'll find that she would be considered as a very special lady. How special? Because we know the Roman Catholic Church venerates her as a co-mediatrix of Christ. Was she ever a co-mediatrix of Christ, where she could also be considered at par with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mediator? Mediatrix, of course, is the feminine gender of mediator. Let's see what the Bible said about this woman. And then from verse 29 to 33, we have a glimpse of that seed of this woman. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but Joseph had a carpenter business in Nazareth, and so they left their hometown of Bethlehem. This was no accident. This was by God's design. 6 months from the time when God also sent Gabriel to the cousin of Mary by the name of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. You find this account in the earlier part of Luke chapter 1. Gabriel is mentioned in verse 19. It's the same Gabriel, the angel. She was with child when she was not able to have child. That's Elizabeth. 6 months after God opened her womb and gave her John the Baptist, God sent the angel Gabriel to give this message to Mary. And the Bible described her as a virgin. She was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Espoused means she was to be married. Not married yet. To be married. Something like an engagement, but more than an engagement, because it has a legal significance that our modern day concept of engagement does not have. In our modern day, engagement is just a private covenant between two individuals, the man and the woman. And if they find that this was a mistake and they want to break off their engagement, since it was just a private affair, they do not have to go to any government department. They definitely do not need to go to the registry of marriage because it's just an engagement. But this word espouse has something more than just an engagement. If they were to break off, it has a legal implication. The groom had to go to the elders to do it legally. That's how important this word espouse is. But not married yet. There was no consummation. They were just to be married. And the name of that man was Joseph of the house of David, just like Mary was. She was also from the house of David, but from a different son of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the Bible said in verse 28, the angel came in unto her. He approached her, and then he appeared, and then he said to her, Hail, thou art highly favored. The phrase highly favored simply means God will now bestow upon her great grace. Now please make sure that you know the distinction. The Mary that the Roman Catholic Church has been teaching say that she is a dispenser of grace. She is full of grace and she can dispense grace to others. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that she is now a recipient of the great grace of God. She is never the dispenser. She is just like us. She was a virgin, but she was also a sinner. She was born totally depraved, just like you and me. She was born again in Christ when the angel Gabriel met with her. And you can see that when the Bible used the phrase, "Blessed art thou among women." The Lord is with thee. You are now considered blessed by God. And when the word blessed is used by God to describe someone, you'll find that in both the Old and the New Testament, it has the same meaning and significance. It means that person is happy because that person has a personal, intimate relationship with Christ, with God. That's the meaning of the word blessed. And we know that at this point in time that she was already a believer. She was a sinner saved by Christ. Old Testament believers look forward to what Christ will do on the cross. We look back to what Christ has already done on the cross. Everyone is saved by believing in Jesus Christ. The difference in the time of Mary and all those believers who lived during the first coming of Christ is this. You may consider them as a very privileged generation. For those who believed in Christ in the Old Testament and died before the first coming of Christ, they believe in Christ by faith, looking forward to what Christ would do for them. As you can see, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, they all look forward to the Savior and through the sacrificial animals that God gave to them and they offered them by faith, knowing that they are all types of Christ, looking forward to what Christ would do. So when they offer an ox for a sin offering, for a burnt offering, they know that this represents the Lord Jesus Christ and they did so by faith. That's how they were saved. For us today, we look back to what Christ has done. But the generation who lived during the time of Christ's first coming, like Mary, she was already a believer by looking forward to what Christ will do. But at the same time, she will also see the Lord Jesus Christ walking on earth. And she would be present at the crucifixion of Christ as one of the Marys who was there when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And then after Jesus Christ died on the cross, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and they also witnessed the resurrected Christ. And then after Christ ascended to heaven, they continued to live on until the Lord took them home. And that means they also believe in Christ by looking back to what Christ has done. So it would be a very special generation of believers who believe in Christ by looking forward. They live through by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to His preaching and His teaching throughout His lifetime, saw His crucifixion, witnessed His resurrection, witnessed His ascension, and then after that, they now also continue to believe in Christ by looking back to what Christ had already done. Now that's how blessed Mary was. Never a dispenser of grace, but a recipient of grace, and we know that she was already a believer based upon what she will say later on in verse 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Verse 47, "My soul hath rejoiced in God my Savior." That's how we know that she was already a believer when the angel Gabriel met up with her and then told her all these amazing truths concerning how she will be known as the greatest woman on planet Earth throughout the history of mankind. A woman who will receive very, very great grace. That's the meaning of the phrase, highly favored. And God said, you are blessed among all the women of the earth because God has chosen you to be the vessel through whom the Lord Jesus Christ will be born into this world as the Son of Man. She remained a virgin when we were in America. Our professor of systematic theology made this statement. He said, to be more accurate and precise, instead of using the statement, Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, we should only say that Jesus Christ was conceived of the Virgin Mary. Do you have an issue with that? Would you consider that as more accurate than to say that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary? We took issue with him when he said that. Because to say that Jesus Christ was conceived of the Virgin Mary is correct. But it does not mean that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Because after she was with child, she was with the Lord Jesus Christ inside her womb, Joseph married her. And according to Matthew chapter 1, the Bible made it very plain and clear that Joseph and Mary did not consummate their marriage. And so for the professor to simply say that Jesus Christ was conceived of the Virgin Mary does not include or imply that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. However, the statement that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary would include that she was also conceived of, that Jesus Christ was conceived while she was still a virgin. And that's why the statement that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary is more accurate and definitely more complete. And for him to say that, if he was teaching only Luke chapter 1 in this particular passage, fine. But to try to replace that statement that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary by that statement, it would be insufficient. And it will open ourselves to a lot of attack by the evil one. That's why the Bible made it very clear, when you look at the complete scripture, that Jesus was not only conceived of the Virgin Mary, but she remained a virgin until after Jesus Christ was born. Then they consummated the marriage, and that's why Jesus Christ had some half-brothers. She did not remain as a perpetual virgin, as the Roman Catholic Church teaches. That is erroneous, that's not found in scriptures. She is just an ordinary sinner saved by grace. She may be the greatest woman on earth, chosen by God as a vessel through whom the Lord Jesus Christ will come as the Virgin Mary. No doubt about that. But to venerate her and to elevate her to the position of co-mediatrix would be an abomination. And I'm sure that as a child of God saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and she herself testified, my Savior, she herself testified that she needed to be saved, like all of us. As you can see from verse 46, 47, and 48 of this same chapter. And to make her as if she was God, it's an abomination. And if she were alive, she would tell everyone to stop it. Don't make me someone that will rob my own Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, of His glory. That glory belonged to Him and Him alone. She was just an instrument like you and me. We are only instruments with different purposes, different calling, but only instrument. God used her to bring forth the birth of the Savior. And what kind of Savior would this seed of this woman be? Verse 29. And when she saw him, the angel Gabriel, she was very troubled at his saying. And then she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Why did he say that I am blessed among women? What does he mean by that? And so the angel said to her and explained, fear not, Mary. Verse 30. Don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. For thou hast found favor, found grace with God. In what manner? And so he will explain. For behold, Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That means Savior, the Hebrew equivalent, Joshua. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. So he will be a great person, and then he shall be called the Son of the Highest. That means his deity. He is God Almighty conceived inside your womb. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, that is his humanity. In one simple verse, the angel Gabriel revealed to her and to all of us that this seed of this special lady, the Virgin Mary, will carry inside her the God-man, the Son of the Highest, as well as the son or the seed of King David, his father. Both humanity and the deity of Christ in one person. This is an amazing truth. This is exactly what Isaiah prophesied also in Isaiah 7:14. He shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as he traversed the length and breadth of the promised land, doing his mighty miracles, preaching and teaching the word of God, revealing himself to them, to the people, the only people on planet earth who are called God's people, the only people on planet earth who had everything ordained by God, from their dressing to their diet to their teaching, everything, including their language. They would be the best people to accept and receive Jesus, to accept God with us. That's why God went to them. Gentiles, they had nothing. Gentiles are all idolatrous in origin, in everything that we believe in everything that we do. But the Jews were different. They were a nation designed by God, and that's why Jesus Christ came to them as the God-man, telling them the truth about himself. You can see that I am man by his humanity, by the way that he conducted himself. When he was tired, he rested. When he was hungry, he ate. When he was thirsty, he drank. They knew all these things about him. But then by his miracles, they will see that he was indeed the Son of the Highest, because the phrase "the Highest" here refers to God himself. And by his miracles, no one can do all that he did except God could. Controlling storms and weathers, controlling fallen angels, demons who possess individuals, even a legion of demons possessing the man who lived in the tombs. The Lord Jesus Christ delivered him by his word and by his command. There was no disease the Lord Jesus Christ could not heal. And all these miracles were done to send forth one singular message, that he is indeed the Son of the Highest, God himself. There are a lot of people who believe in Christ. They do not deny that he existed and he lived. They do not deny that he was a man, but they deny that he was God. And as long as they do not accept that he is also the Son of the Highest, not just the Son of David, they will never have salvation. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Son of Man. That's why his death on Calvary's cross is not just the precious, priceless blood of a single human being. If he was just a perfect human being, as one person, he could only save one. But he being both God-man, that's why his death is of infinite worth. He is able to take away the sins of the whole world. That was how John the Baptist declared him when he first met him, when he was about to be baptized by John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. How could he do that? Because he was the God-man who died. He allowed himself, even as to be the power of God at his disposal, like a lamb led to the slaughter, not complaining, not wielding any of his almighty power. He allows sinful men to persecute him, to humiliate him, and then to crucify him, and then he died on the cross unjustly because of your sins and my sins. That's who this seed of the woman is. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What does this statement mean in verse 33? In order for Christ to reign over the house of Jacob forever, Israel has to be saved. As it is right now, Israel is not saved. The same people that the Lord Jesus Christ came to witness and to tell them that I am indeed the Christ, the Messiah that you have been longing for, that the Word of God in the Old Testament have been teaching about me, that you are the privileged generation who are now seeing and witnessing the amazing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they rejected him. They crucified him. But one day, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. That means this house of Jacob will also be saved. And we know that that will take place in the millennium. And only believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with the glorified body will exist forever. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. It will never be replaced. It will perpetuate for eternity, forever and ever. Because this king never dies. There is no one on earth who will have the power to displace him or to remove him. And everyone in his kingdom will be like him in eternity, and they will have the glory of Christ in them as well. This is the seed of this woman. Indeed, she is blessed among every woman on earth. Truly? Isn't that true? To carry in your womb the Savior himself. That must have been an amazing experience that you and I can never, never fully comprehend. Mary experienced this. And when Jesus Christ was born, she was there to see Jesus Christ grew from infancy to adulthood. An amazing, perfect human being. And then when it was time for him to minister, he did it. That's why on both occasions, the Bible tells us at the start of his ministry, the Bible revealed to us that Jesus addressed Mary as woman in the miracle of Cana, the marriage feast. And then when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, as he was asking John, the disciple of Christ, who was there at the cross, to take care of Mary, because Jesus Christ knew that he would be ascending to heaven. His work on earth will be done soon. Again, he addressed her as woman, your son, pointing to John the apostle. And John the apostle, he said, this is now your mother. Look after her. On both occasions, at the start of his ministry, at the end of the ministry, he deliberately addressed her as woman. For her sake, for her benefit, that she may never, never forget that despite all the privileges that God has bestowed upon you, to have in your womb the Lord Jesus Christ, to carry in your arms the baby Jesus Christ, to see him grow up, the Son of God and the Son of Man, your own Savior, your Lord and your Master, don't ever forget your place and your position. Don't ever think that you are the mother of God. Don't ever think that you are God. You are not. You are just a person who is in need of the Savior just like everyone else. But you are given a unique and specific calling and ministry to be the virgin through whom the Lord Jesus Christ would be born. The seed of the woman. Don't distort the truth. We live in a world and an age where this distortion abounds, where billions of people all over the earth has begun to venerate the woman rather than the seed of the woman. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the only Savior of the world, never the woman who carried the seed. The link between the seed and the woman is explained from verse 34 to 38. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. That's how they are united. Not by Joseph, The Holy Ghost will come upon her, and then the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, and that is the seed of this woman, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. The King James captured the significance very well, an incident that is no way any one of us could ever understand or comprehend. How did the Spirit of God come upon this woman? Whereby, by this very act of the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ began to exist in human form inside this woman's womb. Jesus Christ already existed, unlike you and me, who never existed until we begin to exist in our mother's womb. But the Lord Jesus Christ already existed even before the creation. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no creation. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, the creation that we live in today would not be sustained in its proper place and position for us to live in. That's how we know the Lord Jesus Christ already existed. Because John chapter 1 made that very plain and clear. He was there even before there was time. And so when he began to exist in Mary's womb, that was the beginning of his humanity, not the beginning of his existence. But what about all those pre-incarnate appearances of Christ in the Old Testament? We know that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared in Genesis 18 to Abraham together with two angels. And then Abraham cooked a meal and Jesus and the angels sat down and ate a meal. But these are known as the pre-incarnate appearances of Christ, or you can call it by what theologians describe as Christology, Christ appearing as man, or Christophany, I beg your pardon, Christ appearing as man. But that humanity of Christ is not the same as this one. That humanity of Christ was for the purpose of mission, and Jesus Christ just suddenly appeared as a full-grown man, not from infancy to adulthood, because he only appeared for ministry purposes, and at the end of Genesis 18, the Lord Jesus Christ disappeared. But this was different. This Jesus Christ, from infancy inside the mother's womb to adulthood, is to come as the suffering Messiah with the mission to die. And in order to die for you and me, he has to be exactly like you and me, and you and I are born from infancy to adulthood, and so must Christ. He cannot just suddenly appear as a grown man and then go to the cross. We did not appear as grown men. We all appeared from infancy to adulthood, and for the Lord Jesus Christ to die for your sins and for my sins, to be exactly like us in humanity, but without sin, because he was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, as the Bible here made it very plain and clear. And when he was born, he retained his deity. That's why he's known as the Son of God. The Bible made it very clear. When he is born, he shall be called the Son of God. He never gave up his deity. What God put aside in terms of his deity was the external glory, as Philippians chapter 2 described. And this external glory will be given back to Christ after he finished his work of salvation. That's what Philippians 2 made very plain and clear. In other words, when Jesus Christ came down onto this earth through the Virgin Mary, he put aside his external glory so that when the people saw him on this earth in his first coming, there was no glory, there was no glory. They would see him just like you and I, a human being. Just like you and I are now called children of the living God. But the glory that God has in store for us is not manifested, is not made plain and visible yet. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 3 explains that. But there will come a day, there will come a point in time, at the second coming of Christ, when all of God's servants, when the Lord Jesus Christ returned to judge this earth and we all will appear with Christ in the glorified body, then the world would know for the first time to their horror that they have been persecuting the disciples of Christ, the children of the living God. Because now they will see us in all our glory. Now they see us as just ordinary people, no different from an unbeliever, Because God says, today when they see you, they must still believe by faith. If they see us in our glorified bodies, they will believe in Christ by sight. And that God cannot accept. That's why Jesus Christ only appeared after resurrection, only to believers who already had faith. And he appeared to them before his ascension to strengthen their faith so that they would be strong enough, spiritually prepared, to begin the work of the witness through the local church. That's how this seed and this woman are linked. By the power of God, she will now have Jesus inside her womb, overshadowed by the power of the highest. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. And this is to let Mary know that just as it was impossible for your cousin Elizabeth to have a child when she was barren, the miracle that God worked in her life, God is now going to work in your life. And by the end of this encounter with the angel Gabriel, the Lord Jesus Christ was in her womb. Because when the two of them met later on, look at verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. That little baby was none other than John the Baptist. He was able to recognize that Jesus was in the womb of Mary when both of them met, the cousins. This was the seed of the woman, and this was how the Lord Jesus Christ came to be born, to be our Savior. And Mary said in submission, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. The word handmaid there means slave. In the feminine gender, the slave of the Lord. I will do whatever the Lord wants me to do. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She submitted herself because she understood the significance. She trusted in the Lord. If she was with child, espoused to Joseph, Joseph would soon know, of course, that she was with child. She has to trust the Lord to speak to Joseph. Because for a woman who was espoused suddenly to be pregnant, the normal charge would be fornication. That's why in Matthew chapter 1, the angel appeared to Joseph to explain to him that Mary was still a virgin. The seed that was in her is of the Holy Spirit. She is still pure. Marry her. And he did. He obeyed. God, in his great grace and mercy, sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because God loved us, God loved you and me, to come into this sin-sick world, knowing that his only begotten Son will one day die on the cross, to be abused by the people that he came to save. And God Almighty will look down from heaven and to see his only begotten Son hanging on the cross, and he will not do anything, not lift one finger to take him down from the cross. Because that was the only way that God knows that can save you and me from our sin. His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became man, has to die. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world through the Virgin Mary, who lived a perfect life in obedience to God's command, and then he died a most painful, humiliating death, and God the Father forsook him when he carried on the cross your sins and my sins. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said to all of us and to God, it is finished. And then he died. Death is something heinous. While we are still breathing, the only way to stop death from sending us after we die to hell, a great place of torment and pain because of our sin, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. That he took the punishment that belongs to you and me By faith, you believe that Jesus Christ took the punishment that you and I deserve. You believe with all your heart that this Jesus who was conceived of this Virgin Mary, who grew up to be a man, and then he died on the cross for your sins as the Son of God and the Son of Man, and cried to God the Father in all humility, save me. I am a sinner, undone, deserving death and hell. But in your grace and your mercy, save me through Jesus Christ. I accept him as my Lord and as my Savior with all my heart. And God says, you will be saved. All your sins will be forgiven, washed by the blood of my only begotten Son. And I've accepted what he has done for you by raising him from the dead for your justification, so that when you die, you will continue to live on in heaven in my presence. That's what God promised. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, this is the seed of the woman, which we call Christmas. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, out of thy holy word. Take away all the merry-making and the glitter that has confused the true meaning of Christmas. It is the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, the seed of the woman, which is the beginning of his humanity and how he lived and how he died on the cross for our sins. Help us therefore, O Lord, to truly know that indeed Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, for he came to die for me. Fill me with the deeper sense of gratitude and thanksgiving and a strong desire in my heart never to stop living a life of holiness, so that from henceforth I will only desire to promote Christ and to proclaim to the whole world, especially my friends and family members and loved ones, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will also die for your sins and save you from death and from hell, just as he has saved me. Help us, O Lord, in these last days, never to forget the great commission that you have entrusted to us, but to go out to a world that is filled and covered with sin and with the deceptions of the evil one, clouding, blinding the eyes of the world. Use each and every one of us to be that instrument of blessing, to open the eyes of many sinners who are still in need of the Savior. Use us, O Lord, but cleanse us first, sanctify us by thy word, for thy truth is thy word, and thy word is the truth. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.